Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Senator Kimberley Kitching will join us in a moment, but she's actually ducked out because she wants to get a picture with Margaret Simons, who's authored this new book on Penny Wong. Kimberley wanted to get a picture, and that's going to happen in a minute.
In the meantime,
it's going to be a good read, Tess.
Oh, I think I'm actually quite looking forward to that.
Well, do you want to borrow it first?
But it won't look new by the time you get it back from me.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
Well, you know, you end up sort of bending corners and doing all that sort of stuff.
No, you don't bend corners. You use a business card as a
I do that as well, but they just get trashed,
Matt. You don't bend...
That's what happens to books.
Tess, you don't bend the corners.
Well...
Yeah.
Now, our guest is in the studio. Good morning
Hello.
To you, Kimberley.
Good morning. I just had to, I might be slightly delayed because I just had to have a photograph.
Oh, we told everybody.
No, we've already told everybody. Yeah. Hey, is that a Camilla that you're wearing?
Well, you know, now that I've left Canberra for the year, I can dress more creatively.
Now is it a Camilla?
I think, yes, it is. Yes. Yeah.
Now, Kimberley's coming.
There you go.
You've got a good eye. A good eye.
Hey, we're not homosexual for nothing. How cliche is that?
And most
gays I know have got no taste at all. They live like slobs.
Now, Kimberley has come into the studio with her...
Her notes on the back of a napkin.
Literally, because I was having breakfast.
With her Albert Speer-style notes.
Yes, no one else.
He wrote his big book in Spandau Prison on bits of toilet paper.
Oh, these are napkins.
And these are napkins. There's all these little.
I'm working.
Now, Kimberley, to kick off the conversation this morning, we've already done a bit of editorialising ourselves. Oh. For me, this week has been one of the saddest weeks in my memory because of the repealing of that Medibank legislation. I think, I had spent the week in a hospital visiting relatives and watching...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Watching lovely, kind, caring attention that, you know, our family have had in hospital care. And then the next day, our nation voted to remove that basic human right on the basis of clinical need from some members of our society.
I think, it's very unclear still what the terms and conditions of the deal the government did with Jackie Lambie. I think if, you know, they are sort of framing this as a national security issue, if they are using national security as a bargaining chip, I think that, for a start, is actually a very questionable way of dealing with this legislation. And there's a lot of artifice, I think, that's in this argument. So, for example, the department, it's the department, it's the minister who is able to appoint the medical experts who would be, reviewing the case details of asylum seekers. But I think everyone wants those people off those islands and out of those settlements. So now it's a question of, you know, we don't know whether they've done a, you know, whether there's been, you know, a review or, a review of that deal with New Zealand.
But Kimberly, the decision for you to receive healthcare is a decision between you and your doctor, nobody yes. else. And now we have a politician who can make that decision.
And I think that, I think one of the great things about our country is, as you say, we have a great, an incredibly good medical system, but also we have a system where if you are sick and you present to an emergency, to emergency at a hospital, you will be treated. And I know this.
On the basis of your clinical need.
That's right. And I can tell you this because I was on the board of St. Vincent's Foundation, of the St. Vincent's Hospital, and they're, obviously, St. Vincent's, where it's placed in Melbourne, is, near the exhibition gardens, and it does treat a lot of homeless people who might come in who have really
quite dire... They actually specialise in those.
Yeah, dire needs. And, the nuns there who were on the board always said, you know, we are never going to differentiate between those who come in with a Medicare card, you know, who might, you know, have a functional life, and those who are living... opposite in the park.
The Sisters of Charity are very clear about that.
They vary.
You get treated on the basis of your clinical need.
That's
so
right.
If your clinical need is greater than the next person's, you will go on top of the list.
So
if it's not, you will wait a little bit.
Yes.
So someone who won't be in the Sisters of Charity is Jackie Lambie.
Well,
I don't think she'd qualify for membership. And I said earlier that Jackie Lambie will drown in the tears of her hypocrisy.
I think...
Her blubbering and the act she put on the Senate, pity there isn't an award.
Give us your reflections on Jackie.
Well, I was in the chamber when that was happening, and I think that what I don't like is the lack of transparency around whether there had been an arrangement made with her. And I think that actually lessens our whole system if you can't have that kind of transparency. Now, obviously, if you're the government, you have to deal with the crossbench because otherwise they couldn't get legislation through in the Senate. But there has to be transparency around those arrangements, because if there's not, it becomes very opaque about with how legislation, or what kind of legislation, or is there some condition that's coming down the track which we can't see. But can I say about the government, I think that they are, you know, there are two main concerns if you are forming federal government. One is ensuring the national prosperity, and I think this government is not doing a great job on that, and secondly is national security. So they say that they are the strong cop on the beat of our borders, but in fact they've let in Rwandan terrorists.
Yeah.
So people who have gang raped and then murdered, literally axe murdered, some tourists in Africa. They are here under a resettlement deal because we have an arrangement with the US and they came over. So you can't be doing a deal on Medivac and then also saying, oh, because we're very tough, and then also letting in Rwandan terrorists. It's not consistent.
It's called hypocrisy.
Yeah, well, it is not. It is just simply not consistent. So you can't position yourself around this argument around national security. And again, I say, you know, if they are using national security as a bargaining chip in order to get a crossbenchers vote, that's actually a really serious matter. You know, and I
agree with you, but I want to go back to Jackie Lambie.
Yes.
So, you know, how did Jackie Lambie stand up in Parliament and retain her sense of humility after her behaviour? And how was she received?
Look, I think that there, on both sides, there's an awareness that sometimes the crossbench can be, can be...
volatile.
Yes. That's a very good word, Taz. she came in and voted on other things, obviously on that bill, but on other issues. And I think that, we'll see if... we'll see down the track what happens, or whether there has been some other part of this that we haven't seen yet. Because remember, there's also this lifetime ban that the government says they won't reconsider. So, I mean, where they are in this space, and I think that, you know, to politicise this when we're really trying, as you say, Tass, to ensure that people who are in our care and custody, how they are treated, because we should be treating... treating people as human beings.
No disagreement for me. That's exactly my premise. But I mean, to say that we are politicised, it is politicised. We've got a senator, a single senator, who's horse trading about something we don't even know about.
Yeah.
Where's the transparency?
And someone who's been on the receiving end, she says,
yes,
of being discriminated against by officialdom in this country, and not getting the right medical attention that she thought she should get. I want to ask, you know, you've heard the allegation by the Greens that Matthias Cormann came over to Jackie Lambie and said, is it all right if I say there's no deal?
Mm. I didn't hear that. They because I'm down the sort of the other end of the chamber, but I think that, Richard Di Natale gave quite an impassioned speech about that. You know, is there a deal? Is there not a deal? And I think that, there has to be transparency about these issues.
She said there was a deal. I heard what she said.
I mean, these are very serious matters, particularly if you are positioning yourself in such a way on this issue that you were saying, you know, we are, you know, very strong on national security, and they're using it as a sort of a bit of a bargaining chip.
She said, I put my heart on my hand. I can't tell you what the deal is, but I've done a deal because it's in the interest of the national security.
Matthias Cormann's going to be the host of that game show, isn't he? Deal or No Deal?
I saw the memes.
Yes.
So, Kimberly, just before, of course, the Medibank legislation was the union busting legislation. And I'm interested in your reflections on Senator Pauline Hanson and not so much about why she did it, because she articulated why she did that. But what were the reflections around her performance around all of that?
Look, I think the government was surprised. Remember, there were a lot of procedural motions before we got to the actual vote, and she had voted with the government on those procedural motions. I think they were surprised. I think for her, she is very aware that she has a lot of union members who actually vote for her. So if you go up to Central Queensland, where I've been recently on a Minerals Council tour, you will actually, you know, people, oh, Pauline, you know, I mean, some people said, outright said, you know, well, I voted for Pauline.
Yeah. And
so she's very conscious, I think, that she has some of that base. And I think that's why it was always going to be difficult. She was difficult for her about how, and she ended up being on the side, not surprisingly, I think, part of her base.
And that was my reflection. Mm. In some ways, I thought that she had positioned herself as being the champion of the ordinary worker.
Yeah,
that way.
And look, I think we have discussed here before, so I went on a Defence Force trip with her.
You did? You've told us about that.
Afghanistan. And she was really good with soldiers, young soldiers. She was actually very chatty with them. She was very chatty. She wanted to know about their family. She was, why are you here? Why did you join the Defence Force? She was really good. It was a really interesting trip. But what I do want to say, I think that also influenced some of the crossbench that week was, of course, the Westpac debacle.
Yes.
So here you've got a bank that's had 23 illegal transactions.
23 million.
23 million illegal transactions. They've got 12 pedophiles there sort of allowing transactions to go through. Very questionable. They were told to put in a different, you know, to improve their algorithms.
Yeah, they were told.
In 2013, years ago, and they did nothing.
Mm.
And so you've got a bank doing that, a bank with actually very complex and sophisticated systems, a regulatory regime, you've got them doing that, then you've got unions. And, you know, people think these are, you know, some unions are very well-funded entities. Some unions are essentially very small.
Kimberly, the point that you're making is very valid. She, you know, the context was really clear. You've got government trying to bust the unions, which is all about supporting workers.
Yes.
And then you've got white-collar crime absolutely rife. And she did a press conference, and I saw the press conference, and she said, it is not fair.
Yeah.
One lot get away with it, the other lot will give a hard time.
The other one,
it's not fair.
One lot get a strike.
I reckon that won her more votes. I reckon that's won her more votes.
I think that's right. And I think that, you know, saying, oh, we're just sort of equalising the playing field, that is not true. And can I make another, I think, important point? Wage theft. It is not... Yes. It, that systematic wage theft in different organisations, I mean, remember we've got Woolworths at, you know, maybe up to $300 million, but also other lots and lots of other entities. And you've got, you know, they are, the unions are the ones who put together that paperwork to prove that people were having
not
their wages...
Not in Woolworths' case, though.
Stop. No, but in terms of other retail, retailers, fast food, restaurants, that was unions who put together the paperwork that was able to prove those cases. And that, without registered organisations doing that, looking after people who aren't necessarily, who may not, you know, may not actually know that someone in the other franchise might be also being treated in a, you know, in a unfair way or actually being stolen from, those cases were put together by unions.
Now hold that thought.
And you know, it's not a very long
hold that thought.
I will, but see how obedient I am.
it is not a very long bow to also think that registered organisations,
Paul's going to shut down
Bill,
on us in a minute,
could actually be applied to an organisation like Joy. Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Kimberly Kitching. We're going to talk about the highs and lows of the Parliament. I want to congratulate, and shut up, Tass, I want to congratulate Dean Smith. Dean has been elected chair of the parliamentary committee that oversees the historical child sex abuse redress scheme.
Were you laughing, Kimberly?
And,
I'm laughing at your reaction.
And
to Macca dominating the conversation once again.
Well, you know, congratulations, Dean. I know you and Kimberly are good mates.
I very much like Dean. He's a very decent person.
He is a decent person. So there you go.
We've had him in the studio a few times. Yes. And he's a champion of our community, which is great. Now, Kimberly, what was one of your lows in Parliament during the year?
Well, I would say not necessarily in Parliament, but obviously the election loss in May was a low. And I think, though, that we are regrouping on that and from that experience. And I think we will go forward. There'll be, you know, policy discussion next year, and I think that will be, you know, really interesting. And I think, you know, we'll set then for, you know, the next election. But I think, where do we want to be in an economy for which the government seems to have no plan? And I think it is all about the economy at the end of the day. And, you know, we're aware that voters, you know, where I had breakfast this morning, that was, you know, there was a full lease sign on the shop next door. And I think that people know that the economy is not doing very well. And you've got a government that has, you know, where the Reserve Bank governor has made sort of essentially pleas in a, you know, sort of entreaties to a government that is, you know, they're essentially falling on deaf ears. Where, you know, it's like he's sort of, it's, I always think of that proof of life photograph that the treasurer had with the governor of the Reserve Bank, but in very polite banker speak, they are asking the government to use their reforms and structures to actually improve the economy. And I think the retail figures after Christmas will be very interesting. Yeah. Remember, we've got 2 million people looking for more work. So they want more hours, and you know, I'm conscious that there'll be some shops that might like to give more hours but just can't afford it because they're not getting the custom through. So we know that people didn't spend their income tax cuts, and I think this is a very serious issue. I mean, this is a government that effectively is going to go into a budget. It's going to try to maintain what will be, end up being probably, it looks like, quite a slim surplus. But they're putting that, despite leading economists telling them not to worry about the surplus, because in order to achieve a surplus, they are going to tank the economy.
But they made a promise to the community.
They did.
That they would retain a surplus.
And that's the political judgment that they will have to make, whether they are going to keep that.
But if they don't, your side will give them a hard time, won't they?
Well, but if you've got an economy, are people going to be more annoyed at a flatlining economy, or are they going to be, annoyed that there's not a surplus, which actually doesn't really. I mean, we all want a healthy economy, but if you are tanking the economy in order to achieve that, that is going to be a problem. And that's not only is it an economic problem, but it's also a political
problem.
Surplus is the blood of the economy, but a sick patient can't give blood.
That's exactly right.
It can't give blood. In terms of...
Highlight was the ensuring
integrity bill. I think that was really important. I think it was important just as a principle. Remember that bill?
Tell our listeners what that bill means.
Well, that bill was going to effectively say that if you, on a sort of a point system, if you had committed various paperwork breaches, this is just one example, paperwork breaches, you could possibly be deregistered.
Yeah.
Now, the point I made before the break about unions being the ones to put together paperwork about wage theft, or unions ensuring health and safety standards in workplaces, this is the really important work that unions do. And in order to have a healthy civil society, we want unions.
Mm.
We want unions that sort of say to a government, well, actually, we don't think the, nurse-patient ratios are right. You want to actually be able to have those conversations without having someone say, we discredit whatever you say because you are from a union. And you can't have that because, in fact, unions and capital can work very well
they
together.
They do. They have a combined interest.
So can I just say on that there was a principle of that, and obviously also politically it was important from a morale point of view, I think, for federal Labor. But on the principle, we cannot as a society say that that we are going to diminish the rights of people to have freedom of association.
Mm. You can't, no.
We have signed up to various international treaties about freedom of association.
Refugees too.
That's also true. But on the ensuring integrity, we don't want to diminish that right. That is a very long-held right. And also the right, for a fair day's pay for a fair day's work.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very, very old principle. Just a few blocks away from where we are, there is a statue.
Yes.
Saying that at its base, and
outside the old Jesse McPherson.
Yes, it's right. Yes, so
Kimberly, just moving right up. That's it's great to hear what your highlights were. What are you looking forward to next year? What do you think are going to be the two top hot issues?
Oh, I think the economy is a significant issue, and I think also the parliament. I think all parliamentarians are thinking about China. I think or about Beijing. I think the economy is going, because we will start to see how the government's economic policies are starting to play out, and I think to hurt people. I mean, I think a lot of people are hurting in this economy.
Perhaps they need to get on the Chinese government payroll.
Well, that's
no shortage of people.
There's a
no shortage of them, Mac.
No shortage of them.
Yes.
Quickly, Kimberly, what is it about ex-Labor ministers and prime ministers, Gareth Evans and Paul Keating,
coming out saying, you all need to call it about China, you know, they're good chaps, you know, there's nothing to worry about. Yeah, all governments interfere. What's wrong with them?
Well, remember, I think it's both, remember Landbridge employed Andrew Robb.
Andrew Robb,
and they've got a 99-year lease of the Port of Darwin. Port of Darwin. And from that, the FIRB, the Foreign Interference
Laws, yeah.
No, no, the FIRB is the Foreign Investment Review Board, have put David Irvine on that, and he was a former security agency head, and the reason they've done that is to have a criterion in whether they decide to sell large infrastructure, large assets.
Have Paul and Gareth gone gaga?
No, I don't. No. I think, look, I don't like their view. I think that we have to keep our national security.
They've gone gaga.
But I won't take lectures from the government when they've got someone who's actually was a backbencher in their own ranks, the member for Chisholm here in Victoria, when they've got her, you know, she said...
Oh, Gladys.
Yeah, she said that she was going to do a, you know, self-audit. I love people who self-audit because that always works so well.
She doesn't even know who's in
Very impartial.
She doesn't even know who's in her house.
Yeah, so she joined all of these organisations. We've never heard made a statement to the Parliament.
I don't know who they are. I don't know where the money come from. I want a refund. Nothing to see here. Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. Quick question from a listener. Kimberly stayed on.
Macca, we're not doing Macca's opinion today.
No, we're not doing...
We're actually doing Kimberly's opinion.
You'll get some of it anyway.
I know it's hard.
Shut up.
Macca's opinion, Kimberly, is to actually contain Macca's opinions into the one segment rather than scatter throughout the entire show. It's not working.
Yeah. So the question is, Kimberly, do politicians send each other Christmas cards? And listener asked this, but after watching Senate Question Time the other day, seeing Uncle Erica Betts, God bless him, filling in Christmas cards.
Yes.
Our taxes at work.
I received one of those Christmas cards. I can't tell you whether it was done during written during
Did it have
question
an actual
time.
Little note with it, or was it just signed Uncle Eric?
Little note. So we are in
Did
each other's...
Did you say Uncle Erica?
I might have.
We are each other's chairs and deputy chairs of the Senate Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee. So he is the chair of the legislative part of that committee and I'm the chair of the references and we are each other's deputies. And he sent me a Christmas card. So people do get on very well. I know that this is... sometimes people are surprised by this.
No, we talked about that earlier, yeah.
Yeah, but people, you know, you can be on... And I think particularly in the Senate because of the committee structure for the work...
You have to.
It's very collegiate sometimes.
Now, Kimberly, talk to us about human rights and the Magnitsky Bill.
I have been advocating for Magnitsky legislation for some time.
As was Michael Danby,
the former member for Melbourne Ports, now the seat of McNamara. But so I should explain really, Sergei Magnitsky was a tax advisor to an Anglo-American businessman who had a company in Russia. And he found that the Russian state had embezzled about $230 million.
Oh.
And Sergei Magnitsky was arrested and was tortured, really, in jail and died in jail, in a Russian jail. And Bill Browder, the businessman, was so outraged by this egregious action that he then lobbied the American Congress and Senate to pass Magnitsky-style legislation. And that is that if you are, let's say you're a Russian oligarch and you've embezzled hundreds of millions of dollars or you have you've committed gross acts of human rights violations, then you may be denied a visa, but also any property that you have in the jurisdiction can be seized.
Yes.
That's right. Now, obviously, these are serious matters to do to someone. So there are checks and balances in the legislation. The legislation has passed in the US, in the UK, Canada, various countries in Europe. And I think that it's... we obviously have some legislation currently, the Autonomous Sanctions Act, and certainly there are parts of the Immigration Act that the character test in Section 501, for example. But this is a surgical scalpel rather than applying sanctions across a whole country, for example.
A bit like the Chinese carving out a liver.
Well, that's another whole
out of you,
but for example,
don't change the topic.
In, for example, the Cambodian regime, you know, that Cyprus granted some citizenships to some of his relatives, the president of Cambodia's relatives, and the European Union looks like it's going to impose some sanctions because that is not a good regime. And we know from, you know, Four Corners, for example, they had a program called Champagne with Dictators.
Yes.
And on that program, there were actually, you know, there was bullying from the Cambodian regime on the local diaspora in Melbourne. Now, that is not appropriate. And we don't want that. And we don't want to give succour to people who are, you know, embezzling or committing human rights violations because in our own jurisdiction, because what they're doing is they are using our rule of law, our very robust and our good system to actually to ensure that their property is, you know, is it that they have clear title to property. Yeah. You think about the Russian oligarchs who've, you know, bought half of Chelsea and Kensington in London. They are using the UK system to maintain their own
harbour,
as a safe harbour, and it's not appropriate. And I think we should be saying we do not condone what you do.
So, what's the status of this?
Well, I have a private senator's bill, but the government, Maurice Payne, the foreign minister, signed off on a reference to the Joint Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade this week. And that committee, so I'm on that committee as well, and that committee will look at Magnitsky-style legislation in Australia.
Great.
And I think it's really interesting because that would indicate, well, I know from some of my colleagues on the other side that there is a great deal of support for that type of legislation. So it would be supported in a bipartisan fashion. And James Patterson, who's a Victorian Liberal senator, and I wrote an op-ed on Thursday. I think it appeared in The Australian.
I read that.
So it does have bipartisan support.
That's great work.
I think it's really important. You know, one of my favourite quotes is a Ronald Reagan quote, which is, "There is no limit to what a man can achieve if he doesn't mind who gets the credit."
Of course.
And I think we actually want legislation. The legislation. It doesn't matter
where it comes from.
Yeah, that's right.
On another topic, Kimberly, because we're nearly out of time, and you've given us some of your reflections about the past and the present and the future. One question that's been it's been on my mind, and I'd like to put it to you, is will Anthony Albanese be the leader of the Labor Party that takes the Labor Party to the next election?
Yes, he will be. I mean, we've got rules in place where we don't have leadership changes, and we can see
we know about the
from
rules.
From the government. You know, they had coup week last year, and we know from our own experience from Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard that, you know, it's very damaging, and it's also the internecine fight is not where voters want people to be. I mean, it's pretty indulgent behaviour a lot of the time, and I think that people would like us to focus on issues in society, not on ourselves. I mean, that's not why we are there. So, yes, he will, and I think he's regrouped the party and the caucus. We had a really fun, I don't know how much I should say about this, very fun drinks night on Thursday evening, and he gave a really uplifting speech.
That's great. Thank you very much, Kimberly. We're out of time, actually.
Can I just say the season of goodwill and peace to you and to your listeners?
And you can. And I was going to wish you the same. Best for
you.
The season and for the new year. And we look forward to having you back in the studio for longer chats.
Yes. I love coming in here.
And in line with that, I might put $50 on sports bet on Elbow.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.